Galatians seen from the perspective of the gospel of the water and the spirit. Biblical exposition and sermons. Paul Sejong. Please note the following. Scripture quotations used in this book are from the New King James Version, American Standard Version. Preface. Chapter 1. Who is the author of Galatians? The author of Galatians is the Apostle Paul. First, internal evidence, the text itself. Galatians clearly reveals its author at the beginning of the epistle. Paul, an apostle, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Also, in Galatians chapters 1 and 2, Paul details autobiographical contents such as the circumstances of his conversion, his journey to Arabia, his visit to Jerusalem, and the incident in Antioch, which coincide with the records in the Acts of the Apostles. Second, external evidence, church history. From the early 2nd century, the church fathers quoted Galatians as a Pauline epistle. Galatians is also included in Marcion's list of Pauline epistles, approximately Anno Domini 140. It is also recorded in the Muratorian canon. Third, academic position. Galatians is classified among scholars as one of the undisputed Pauline epistles. Along with Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians, it is an epistle whose authenticity as a Pauline letter is doubted by almost no scholars. Chapter 2. Who are the recipients of Galatians? First, name of the recipients. To the churches of Galatia. Galatians chapter 1, verse 2. Paul identifies the recipients as the churches of Galatia. However, there has been a long debate among scholars as to exactly which region Galatia refers to. Second, two theories. The first theory, North Galatia theory. It is the view that it is an epistle sent to the Celtic Galatian people, residing in the north-central part of Asia Minor, that is, the areas of Ancyra, present-day Ankara, Pessinus, and Tavium. It is an interpretation that the name Galatia was originally an ethno-geographical name referring to the residential area of this people, and that the region of Galatia in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, and chapter 18, verse 23, refers to this area. It was the majority view until the 19th century, and was supported by J.B. Lightfoot and others. The second theory, South Galatia theory, current majority view. It is the view that it is an epistle sent to the churches in the southern Roman province of Galatia, such as Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, which Paul pioneered during his first missionary journey, Acts chapters 13 through 14. Paul tends to use Roman administrative district names rather than ethnic names, for example, Macedonia, Achaia, Asia. There is no record in Acts that Paul established churches in the North Galatia region. Barnabas, who appears in Galatians, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 and 13, is a familiar figure to the South Galatian churches as a co-worker from the first missionary journey. Since W. M. Ramsey, a majority of modern scholars support it. Third, situation of the recipient churches. They are churches that Paul established by directly preaching the gospel, Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. After Paul left, Judaizers came in and preached a different gospel, stating that one must be circumcised to obtain salvation. Because of this, the saints were in a crisis of being shaken away from the gospel of grace toward legalism. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Chapter 3. Date and place of writing of Galatians. First, difficulty in determining the date. Galatians does not specify the date and place of writing within the text. Therefore, determining the date depends on how one connects the recipient theory, South Galatia theory versus North Galatia theory, with the records of the Jerusalem visits in Acts. Second, two main date theories. The first is the early writing theory, approximately Anno Domini, 48 to 49, connected with the South Galatia theory, current majority view. It is the view that the visit in Galatians 2 equals the famine relief visit in Acts chapter 11, verse 30, and that Galatians was written before the Council of Jerusalem, Anno Domini, 49. The decisions of the Council of Jerusalem are not mentioned at all in Galatians. It naturally connects with the South Galatia theory. Paul sent a letter immediately to the churches he pioneered right after his first missionary journey, Anno Domini, 46 to 48. In this case, Galatians becomes the earliest written epistle among the Pauline epistles. Place of writing. Many view it as Syrian Antioch. Supporters: W. M. Ramsey, F. F. Bruce. The second is the late writing theory, approximately Anno Domini, 53 to 57, connected with the North Galatia theory. It is the view that the visit in Galatians 2 equals the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 15, and that it was written during the second or third missionary journey. It is an interpretation that the situation in Galatians 2 aligns better in content with the official council meeting, Acts 15. Place of writing. There are various views, such as Ephesus, Macedonia, and Corinth. Supporter, J.B. Lightfoot. This book includes a number of charts that contrast the historical background of Galatia with the truth of the gospel. To help you understand the material more quickly and clearly, we recommend listening to this audiobook while referring to the charts in the book. Third, summary overview. This chart provides an item-by-item comparison between the early date theory and the late date theory. Estimated date. Early date theory, Anno Domini, 48 to 49. Late date theory, Anno Domini, 53 to 57. Recipient theory. Early date theory, South Galatian theory. Late date theory, North Galatian theory. Visit in Galatians chapter 2. Early date theory, Acts chapter 11, verse 30. Relief visit. Late date theory, Acts 15. Jerusalem Council. Place of writing. Early date theory, Syrian Antioch. Late date theory, Ephesus or Macedonia. Order of Pauline epistles. Early date theory, First Epistle. Late date theory, right before Romans. Chapter 4. What are the motives and purposes for Paul writing Galatians? First, direct motive. Occurrence of a crisis. After Paul left the Galatian churches, Judaizers infiltrated into the church and began to shake the saints. Their core arguments were as follows. If you do not receive circumcision, you cannot receive salvation. See Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Paul is not a true apostle. He is a figure subordinate to the Jerusalem apostles. Paul simplified the gospel by omitting circumcision in order to please men. See Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Second, purpose of writing. Three dimensions. The first is the doctrinal purpose. Defense of the gospel of justification by faith. A Sin Ching Wei. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul systematically argues that the works of the law cannot be the basis of salvation through the example of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, the function of the law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24, and the allegory of Hagar and Sarah. Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. The second is the apologetic purpose, establishment of apostolic authority. The gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. The third is the pastoral purpose, restoration of the saints to freedom and sanctification. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Third, emotional tone of the epistle. Galatians takes on the most urgent and passionate tone among Paul's epistles. The customary greeting of thanksgiving is completely omitted, and it goes straight into rebuke. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. It repeats the strong expression, "Let him be accursed," in Greek, anathema. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, twice, to those who preach a false gospel. It directly rebukes, saying, "O foolish Galatians." Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. He expresses his deep pastoral heart, comparing his pain to the labor of childbirth. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Chapter 5. Briefly describe the contents of Galatians. Galatians consists of a total of 6 chapters and can be broadly divided into 3 parts. Part 1, personal and autobiographical section, chapters 1 to 2. Defense of Paul's apostleship and the divine origin of the gospel. Paul gets straight to the point without a greeting of thanksgiving. He begins the epistle with shock and rebuke over the Galatian churches rapidly turning to a different gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. Subsequently, he defends that his gospel came through the direct revelation of Jesus Christ, through the circumstances of his conversion and his subsequent actions, chapter 1, verses 11 through 24. In chapter 2, he describes his meeting with the Jerusalem apostles, chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and the incident of publicly rebuking Peter in Antioch, chapter 2, verses 11 through 21, declaring that in the face of the truth of the gospel, no human authority can be a subject of compromise. "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Part 2, Doctrinal and Argumentative Section, chapters 3 to 4. Biblical and Theological Argument for Justification by Faith, E. Sinching Wei. This is the theological heart of Galatians. Paul establishes the truth that one is justified only by faith, not by the law, through 4 main arguments. Argument number 1. Argument from the experience of the Holy Spirit, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. He reminds them that the Galatian saints received the Holy Spirit not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Argument number 2. The example of Abraham, chapter 3, verses 6 through 18. He argues that Abraham being justified was by faith, and that Gentiles also become the descendants of Abraham by faith. Argument number 3. The function and limits of the law, chapter 3, verse 19 through chapter 4, verse 7. The law played the role of a tutor, a schoolmaster, leading us to Christ, but with the coming of Christ, we have obtained the status of sons of God. Argument number 4. The allegory of Hagar and Sarah, chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. Through the allegory of the 2 women and 2 sons, he contrasts the covenant of the law, Hagar and Ishmael, and the covenant of promise, Sarah and Isaac. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. Part 3, Practical and Ethical Section, chapters 5 to 6. Freedom in Christ and the Life Following the Holy Spirit. After the doctrinal arguments, Paul teaches how the freedom of the gospel should be revealed in actual life. He presents the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and concludes with the declaration, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. This chart outlines the structure of Galatians, organized by part, chapter, theme, and core question. Part 1, chapters 1 to 2, theme, autobiographical and apologetic. Core question: where did the gospel come from? Part 2, chapters 3 to 4, theme, doctrinal and argumentative. Core question: how is one justified? Part 3, chapters 5 to 6, theme, practical and ethical. Core question: how does a freed person live? Chapter 6, what is the central thought of Galatians? Core proposition: knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. This is the truth of justification by faith alone, Yi Sin Ching Wei, that pierces through the entirety of Galatians. All arguments, allegories, and exhortations in Galatians unfold centered around this single truth. The five pillars of the central thought. First, the uniqueness and absoluteness of the gospel. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8. The gospel is the absolute and perfect revelation of God that cannot be modified or supplemented by human thoughts or traditions. Second, inability to obtain justification by the law. Since the law requires keeping the whole of the actions perfectly, breaking even one puts one under a curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. The law was given 430 years after the promise, so it cannot annul the promise given to Abraham. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. The role of the law was a tutor leading us to Christ, and after Christ came, that role was completed. Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Third, justification only by faith. Abraham also was justified by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, so that we might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 through 14. By faith, we are no longer slaves, but sons of God. That is, heirs. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Fourth, freedom in Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This freedom is freedom from the condemnation and curse of the law, and it is the freedom to serve one another through love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Fifth, the new life following the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Historical importance. The central thought of Galatians has had a profound impact on church history. In the 16th century, Martin Luther intensively studied and expounded on Galatians, rediscovering faith alone, sola fide. the core truth of the Reformation. It is said that Luther loved Galatians so deeply that he referred to it as my Galatians, my wife. Chapter 7. The History of the Galatia Region. First, geographical location. Galatia is a region located in the highland area of central Anatolia, Asia Minor, in present-day Turkey. It is bordered by the Black Sea coastal region to the north, the Taurus Mountains to the south, Phrygia to the west, and Cappadocia to the east. Second, migration and settlement of the Celts, 278 before Christ to 25 before Christ. The starting point of Galatian history is the migration of the Celts to Asia Minor. 279 before Christ, the Celts invaded Macedonia and northern Greece and plundered even the Temple of Delphi. 278 to 277 before Christ. At the invitation of King Nicomedes, the first of Bithynia, about 20,000 Celts crossed over to Asia Minor. Afterwards, the Celts settled in the central highlands of Asia Minor and expanded their power. They were called Galatians, and the region where they settled acquired the name Galatia. 241 before Christ, King Attalus, the first of Pergamon, heavily defeated the Galatians and restricted their power to the inland of central Asia Minor. Subsequently, the Galatians were divided into three tribes, Trachmi, Tolistobogi, Tectosages, and settled around Tavium, Pessinus, and Ancyra, respectively. Third, incorporation into a Roman province, 25 before Christ, 64 before Christ. As Pompey of Rome reorganized Asia Minor, Galatia came under the sphere of Roman influence. The last king of Galatia, Amyntas, ruled as an allied king of Rome and was killed in battle in 25 before Christ. Emperor Augustus officially incorporated Galatia into a Roman province of Galatia, and the provincial capital was Ancyra, present-day Ankara. Fourth, ethnic characteristics of the Galatians. Paul calling them, O foolish Galatians, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1, is also understood as an expression reflecting the ethnic temperament of the Galatians. Ancient literatures describe the Galatians, Celts, as an impulsive, emotional, and easily excitable people. There is a view that this temperament is not unrelated to the situation of the Galatian churches, which were easily swayed by the instigation of the Judaizers. Fifth, summary timeline. This chart summarizes the major historical timeline, focusing on dates and events. 279 before Christ. Event: Celts invade Greece and plunder Delphi. 278 to 277 before Christ. Event: Celts migrate to and settle in Asia Minor. 241 before Christ. Event: King Attalus I of Pergamon heavily defeats the Galatians. 25 before Christ. Event: Augustus incorporates Galatia into a Roman province. Anno Domini, 46 to 48. Event: Paul plants churches in South Galatia on his first missionary journey. Around Anno Domini, 48 to 49. Event: Paul writes the Epistle to the Galatians, based on the early dating theory. Chapter 8. How was the Galatian Church established? First, founder, Apostle Paul. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first, and my trial which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 14. Second, the first missionary journey and the planting of the South Galatian churches. Acts chapters 13 through 14. Anno Domini, 46 to 48. Paul and Barnabas departed, being sent out by the church of Antioch in Syria. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. The ministries by major cities are as follows. Number 1. Antioch of Pisidia, Acts chapter 13, verses 14 through 52. In the synagogue, reviewing the history of Israel, he proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. After the first sermon, many Jews and Gentiles responded, but when the Jews became envious and contradicted Paul, he declared, "We turn to the Gentiles." Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Eventually, due to the instigation of the Jews, Paul and Barnabas were expelled from that region. Number 2. Iconium, Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. They preached the gospel in the Jewish synagogue, and a great multitude believed. However, when the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles to harm Paul's party, they fled to Lystra. Number 3. Lystra, Acts chapter 14, verses 6 through 20. He healed a man who had been unable to walk from birth. When the multitude considered Paul and Barnabas as gods and tried to offer sacrifices, they strongly restrained them and testified to the living God. However, due to the instigation of Jews who came from Antioch and Iconium, they stoned Paul and, supposing him to be dead, dragged him out of the city. It is presumed that Timothy first heard the gospel in this Lystra. Number 4. Derbe, Acts chapter 14, verses 20 through 21. They also preached the gospel in Derbe and made many disciples. Derbe was the easternmost city of the Roman province of Galatia and the easternmost point of Paul's missionary journey. Third, strengthening the churches during the return journey, Acts chapter 14, verses 21 through 23. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." Acts chapter 14, verse 22. After preaching the gospel in Derbe, Paul and Barnabas returned in reverse order along the way they had come, visiting the churches and appointing elders in every church to establish their organization. Acts chapter 14, verse 23. Fourth, relationship with the second and third missionary journeys. This chart outlines the timing of each missionary journey, along with the corresponding Galatia-related records. Missionary Journey, 1st, Anno Domini, 46-48. Galatia-related records, planted south Galatian churches, Acts chapters 13-14. Missionary Journey, 2nd, Anno Domini, 49-52. Galatia-related records, passed through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening the churches, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Missionary Journey, 3rd, Anno Domini, 52-57. Galatia-related records, went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia, in order, strengthening the disciples, Acts chapter 18, verse 23. Chapter 9. What are the problems of the Galatian church shown in the Epistle to the Galatians? First, the origin of the problem, infiltration of Judaizers. This occurred because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Second, the core problem. Acceptance of a different gospel. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. The content of the different gospel is as follows. Unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. Believing in Jesus alone is not enough, and you must keep the law of Moses to receive complete salvation. Gentiles must also come under the law like Jews to become descendants of Abraham. This is a syncretistic gospel that adds the law to grace. Third, detailed problems. Number 1. The problem of circumcision. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Number 2. The problem of keeping the law. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Galatians chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Number 3. Attack on Paul's apostleship. Paul is a person who did not accompany Jesus and is not a true apostle. Paul is a second-rate apostle subordinate to the Jerusalem apostles, Peter, James, etc. Paul's failure to demand circumcision is a compromise to please men. Number 4. The Antioch incident and the problem of hypocrisy. Peter initially ate with Gentile believers in Antioch, but when Jews came from James, he withdrew by stealth out of fear and refused to eat with the Gentiles. Barnabas was also carried away with this hypocrisy. Paul publicly rebuked this as not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. Number 5. Disputes among saints and the collapse of the community. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 15. Number 6. A life not following the Holy Spirit. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Fourth, summary. This chart outlines each problem area, detailing the specific content and its related text. Problem area, doctrinal problem. Specific content, acceptance of a different gospel, circumcision plus law. Related text, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Problem area, ceremonial problem. Specific content, acceptance of circumcision, observance of seasons and law. Related text, Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4, chapter 4, verses 10 through 11. Problem area, authoritative problem. Specific content, attack on Paul's apostleship. Related text, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. Problem area, ethical problem. Specific content, community disputes, envy, strife. Related text, Galatians chapter 5, verse 15, chapter 5, verse 26. Problem area, spiritual problem. Specific content, following the flesh, not the spirit. Related text, Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. Chapter 10. What are the characteristics of this epistle? First, literary characteristics. Number 1. Complete omission of thanksgiving. Greetings. One of the most prominent structural characteristics of Pauline epistles is that thanksgiving for the receiving church comes at the beginning. While other epistles such as Romans, chapter 1, verse 8, 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 4, and Philippians, chapter 1, verse 3, all begin with thanksgiving, Galatians completely breaks this convention and immediately begins with a rebuke, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. This is a strong signal showing how urgently and seriously Paul perceived the situation of the Galatian church. Number 2. Passionate and polemical tone. Double curse declaration. He repeats, "Let him be accursed," in Greek, anathema, twice. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Direct rebuke. O foolish Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Intense desire. I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Galatians chapter 5, verse 12. Labor pains. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Number 3. Autograph, signature, and emphasis. See with what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. Large letters, in Greek, Pelikois Grammaton, is interpreted as Paul writing largely as a sign of emphasis and intimacy, or due to an eye disease. Second, theological characteristics. Number 1. The most direct declaration of justification by faith. Galatians proclaims the truth that we are justified by faith alone, in the most direct and polemical form among the Pauline epistles. While Romans argues this truth systematically and comprehensively, Galatians proclaims it polemically and directly. In this regard, Galatians is often called the prelude to Romans, or the militant Romans. Number 2. Extensive use of the Old Testament. Abraham's faith, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, to Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. The curse of the law, Deuteronomy chapter 27, verse 26, to Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. The just shall live by faith, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. The curse of the one hanged on a tree, Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, to Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. The allegory of Hagar and Sarah, Genesis chapter 16 and 21, to Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 through 31. Number 3. Clear definition of the function of the law. The law was added because of transgressions. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. The law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. After Christ came, we are no longer under a tutor. Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. Number 4. Important development of pneumatology, doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is received not by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. The Holy Spirit makes us call God, Abba Father. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. The fruit of the Spirit is presented in 9 aspects. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Third, historical characteristics. Number 1. The earliest epistle among Paul's epistles. If we follow the early dating theory, South Galatian theory, Galatians is Paul's first epistle, written around Anno Domini, 48 to 49. This means that Galatians contains the prototypical form of Pauline theology. Number 2. Theological foundation of the Reformation. Galatians played a decisive role in Martin Luther's Reformation in the 16th century. While intensively expositing Galatians, Luther rediscovered the truth of faith alone, sola fide. Fourth, autobiographical characteristics. Galatians chapters 1 through 2 contain the most detailed autobiographical record concerning Paul's conversion and early ministry. The circumstances of Paul's conversion, Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 through 16. Journey to Arabia and Damascus, Galatians chapter 1, verse 17. First visit to Jerusalem, Galatians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Second visit to Jerusalem, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The incident of rebuking Peter in Antioch, Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 21. Chapter 11. In what respects does this epistle occupy an important position? First, position within the canon. Galatians is classified as one of Paul's four major epistles, Hauptbrief, along with Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians. It is an important epistle that most directly proclaims justification by faith, the central soteriological truth of the New Testament, and shows the theological unity of the Old and New Testaments. Second, position in the history of theology. Number 1. Theological foundation of the Reformation. Martin Luther discovered a decisive theological weapon in Galatians, while fighting against the Roman Catholic idea of merit and the sale of indulgences. Luther's commentary on Galatians, 1535, is one of the core documents of Reformation theology, and its influence spread throughout Europe. Number 2. John Wesley's conversion. John Wesley, an English theologian and the founder of Methodism, experienced conversion on May 24, 1738, at a meeting in Aldersgate, London, while listening to the reading of Luther's preface to Galatians. This conversion led to the Great Awakening in the 18th century England and America. Number 3. Center of Modern and Contemporary Theological Debates. E.P. Sanders' New Perspective on Paul caused a great debate by reinterpreting the works of the law, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, in Galatians. N.T. Wright, James D.G. Dunn, and others participated in this debate, and it is still actively ongoing today. Third, position in church history. The early church used Galatians as a theological standard to discern heretical teachings. Marcion valued Galatians so much that he placed it first in his list of Pauline epistles. Galatians provides an important foundation for missional theology that the gospel transcends national and cultural boundaries. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Fourth, position in practical theology. An eternal warning against legalism. It is a warning against all attempts to make human deeds a condition for salvation in any form. The clearest declaration on the freedom of the gospel. It teaches freedom liberated from the condemnation of the law, freedom to serve in love, and freedom to follow the Holy Spirit. The Nine Fruits of the Spirit. It is used today as a core textbook for Christian ethics and spiritual formation. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Fifth, relationship between Galatians and Romans. This chart provides an item-by-item comparison illustrating the relationship between Galatians and Romans. Nature. Galatians, polemical, direct. Romans, systematic, comprehensive. Tone. Galatians, passionate, urgent. Romans, calm and systematic. Justification by faith. Galatians, proclaimed in a polemical situation. Romans, systematically argued. Length. Galatians, 6 chapters. Romans, 16 chapters. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Chapter 12. Thoughts flowing in common through Galatians and Romans. Galatians and Romans have the following 7 core thoughts flowing in common. This chart compares the content of Galatians and Romans, organizing it by common theme. First, justification by faith. Section 1.1. Core proposition. Galatians, justified only by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Romans, the gospel is the power of God that gives salvation to everyone who believes. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Section 1.2. Abraham. Galatians, just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Galatians chapter 3, verse 6. Romans, for if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. Romans chapter 4, verse 2. Section 1.3. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Citation. Galatians, the just shall live by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Romans, the just shall live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Second, the function and limits of the law. Section 2.1. Law and curse. Galatians, those who are of the works of the law are under the curse. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10. Romans, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Romans chapter 3 verse 20. Section 2, point 2. Role of the law. Galatians, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 24. Romans, I would not have known sin except through the law. Romans chapter 7 verse 7. Section 2, point 3. End of the law. Galatians, but after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Galatians chapter 3 verse 25. Romans, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Romans chapter 10 verse 4. Third, the Abrahamic covenant and promise. Descendants of faith. Galatians, know that those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 verse 7. Romans, Abraham shall become the father of many nations. Gentiles also become descendants by faith. Romans chapter 4 verses 17 through 18. Fourth, becoming sons of God and the Holy Spirit. Section 4, point 1. Adoption. Galatians, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Romans, you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Section 4, point 2. Heir. Galatians, if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. Romans, if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. Fifth, redemption of Christ. Section 5, point 1. Redemption. Galatians, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Romans, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Section 5, point 2. With Christ. Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Romans, therefore we were buried with him, that we should walk in newness of life. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Sixth, oneness in Christ, transcending nation and class. Galatians, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Romans, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is Lord of all. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Seventh, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love of neighbor. Galatians, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. Romans, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Core difference. Galatians directly proclaims these truths in a polemical and urgent tone, while Romans systematically and comprehensively argues the same truths. This is why Galatians is called the militant Romans. Chapter 13. Paul's destinations. Comparison between Acts 13-14 and Galatians. The chart below sequentially contrasts the destinations in Acts 13-14 with the relevant texts in Galatians, based on the South Galatian theory and the early dating theory. Organized by destination, this chart lists the number and classification and compares the relevant texts in Acts and Galatians. Departure, Syrian Antioch. Destination, Syrian Antioch. Classification, place of dispatch. Acts 13-14, set apart, and sent Barnabas and Saul by the direction of the Holy Spirit. Sent them after fasting, praying, and laying hands on them. Acts chapter 13, verses 1-3. Galatians describes the incident where Paul rebuked Peter in Antioch. The place where conflict arose over the issue of fellowship with Gentiles. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11-14. Section 1. Island of Cyprus. Destination: Salamis to Paphos, Cyprus. Classification: stopover. Acts 13-14. Preached the word in the synagogues of Salamis. Rebuked the false prophet Bar-Jesus in Paphos. The proconsul, Sergius Paulus, believed. Acts chapter 13, verses 4-12. Galatians, no direct mention, serves as the background for co-ministry as Barnabas's hometown. Section 2. Southern Asia Minor. Entry into the South Galatian region. First, destination, Perga. Classification, stopover. Acts 13-14. John Mark left here and returned to Jerusalem. Acts chapter 13, verse 13. Galatians can be connected to the background of first preaching the gospel due to physical infirmity. Galatians chapter 4, verse 13. See Galatians chapter 4, verse 13. Second, destination, Pisidian Antioch. Classification, church establishment. Acts 13-14. Preached in the synagogue. Declared, we turn to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Expelled due to Jewish instigation. Acts chapter 13, verses 14-52. Galatians, connected to the expression, I preach the gospel to you at the first because of physical infirmity. One of the Galatian churches, Galatians chapter 4, verses 13-14. Third, destination, Iconium. Classification, church establishment. Acts 13-14. A great multitude believed in the synagogue. Fled to Lystra, avoiding a plot to stone them. Acts chapter 14, verses 1-6. Galatians, the expression, you did not despise or reject me, points to the initial reaction of the saints in this region. Galatians chapter 4, verses 14-15. Fourth, destination, Lystra. Classification, church establishment. Acts 13-14, healed a lame man. The multitude considered them gods and tried to sacrifice to them. Stoned due to Jewish instigation. Acts chapter 14, verses 6-20. Galatians, Timothy's hometown. The expression, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me, can be connected to the after effects of being stoned, eye disease. Galatians chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 17. Fifth, destination, Derbe. Classification, church establishment. Acts 13-14, made many disciples. The easternmost point of the first missionary journey. Acts chapter 14, verses 20-21. Galatians, included as one of the Galatian churches. Section 3. Return. Church strengthening. Destination, Derbe to Lystra, to Iconium to Antioch. Reverse order. Classification, church strengthening. Acts 13-14. Strengthened the souls of the disciples and appointed elders in every church, commending them to the Lord. Acts chapter 14, verses 21-23. Galatians, I labor in birth again for you. The background of pastoral concern. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Return destination. Return to Syrian Antioch and recording of Galatians. Destination, Syrian Antioch, return. Classification, epistle recording. Acts 13-14. Reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 14, verses 26-28. Galatians, according to the early dating theory. Galatians was recorded in Syrian Antioch, around Anno Domini, 48-49, right after this return. See Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. Acts chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 14. Mutually contrasting contents recorded in this epistle. We summarize the top 10 contrasting themes appearing throughout Galatians. At the center of all contrasts lies a single question: the cross of Christ, or human works. This chart provides a theme-by-theme comparison between the side of gospel, grace, and the Holy Spirit, and the side of law, works, and the flesh. First, origin of the gospel. Section 1, point 1, source of the gospel. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, divine revelation. Paul's gospel came through the direct revelation of Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 1, verses 11-12. Side of law, works, flesh, human tradition, not received from man, nor came through man, Galatians chapter 1, verses 1-11. Section 1, point 2. Nature of the gospel. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, the only gospel. There is no other gospel besides the gospel called by the grace of Christ, Galatians chapter 1, verse 7. Side of law, works, flesh, a different gospel, a corrupted gospel preached by Judaizers, let them be accursed, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6-9. Second, basis of justification. Section 2, point 1. The way to be justified. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, by faith, justified only by faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Side of law, works, flesh, by works of the law. By works of the law, no flesh shall be justified, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Section 2, point 2. Principle of living. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, living by faith, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Citation, Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. Side of law, works, flesh, living by the law. The law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Galatians chapter 3, verse 12. Third, descendants of Abraham. Section 3, point 1. Standard of descendants. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, descendants of faith. Those who are of faith are the descendants of Abraham and are blessed. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7-9. Side of law, works, flesh, works of the law. Those who are of the works of the law are under the curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Section 3, point 2. Promise and law. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, covenant of promise. The promise given to Abraham precedes the law by 430 years, and the law cannot annul it. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. Side of law, works, flesh, covenant of law. The law was added after the promise and cannot annul the promise. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19. Fourth, relationship between law and gospel. Section 4, point 1. Role of the law. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, tutor, schoolmaster. The law was our tutor to lead us to Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verse 24. Side of law, works flesh, yoke of slavery. After faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. The law becomes a yoke again. Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. Chapter 5, verse 1. Section 4, point 2. The law and Christ. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, Christ's redemption. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having hung on a cross. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Side of law, works, flesh, curse of the law. Those who are of the works of the law are under the curse, must do the whole law. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Fifth, status and relationship. Section 5, point 1. Relationship with God. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, Son, heir. By faith, united with Christ to become sons and heirs of God's inheritance. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Chapter 4, verse 7. Side of law, works, flesh, slave, child. Those under the law are masters of all, yet no different from slaves. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. Section 5, point 2. Hagar and Sarah. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit. Sarah, promise. Sarah and Isaac, those born through promise, Jerusalem above, free woman. Galatians chapter 4, verses 26 and 28. Side of law, works, flesh. Hagar, law. Hagar and Ishmael, those born according to the flesh. Mount Sinai covenant. Those who are slaves, Galatians chapter 4, verses 24 through 25. Section 5, point 3. Two Jerusalems. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit. Jerusalem above, the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Galatians chapter 4, verse 26. Side of law, works, flesh. Present Jerusalem. The present Jerusalem is in slavery with her children. Galatians chapter 4, verse 25. Sixth, circumcision and new creation. Section 6, point 1. Sign of salvation. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit. New creation. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but only a new creation. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Side of law, works, flesh, circumcision. If you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you, and you have fallen from grace. Galatians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. Section 6, point 2. Object of boasting. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit. The cross. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Side of law, works, flesh. The flesh. Judaizers force circumcision to boast in the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Seventh. Freedom and slavery. Section 7, point 1. State of Christians. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, freedom. Christ has set us free for freedom, so stand firm. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Side of law, works, flesh. Yoke of slavery. Do not submit again to a yoke of slavery, returning under the law. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Section 7, point 2. Use of freedom. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, serving in love. Do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Side of law, works, flesh. Indulgence of the flesh. Using freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Biting and devouring each other, resulting in mutual destruction. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 15. Eighth, the Holy Spirit and the flesh. Section 8, point 1. Driving force of life. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit. Walking by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Side of law, works, flesh. Walking by the flesh. The desire of the flesh is against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit is against the flesh. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Section 8, point 2. Fruit of life. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, nine kinds. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Side of law, works, flesh. Deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, etc. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Section 8.3. Sowing and reaping. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit. Sowing to the Spirit. The one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. Side of law, works, flesh. Sowing to the flesh. The one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8. 9. Beginning and ending. Beginning and completion of faith. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit. Beginning by the Spirit. Having begun by the Spirit. Finishing by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Side of law, works, flesh. Finishing by the flesh. Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Returning to the law is regression. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. 10th. Attitude of the Apostle. Object of service. Side of gospel, grace, Holy Spirit, pleasing God. Am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Choosing God. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Side of law, works, flesh, pleasing men. If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 15. Divide the main themes of this epistle. Galatians consists of three main themes and six chapters, and each main theme forms a single theological flow that is organically connected. The first main theme, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 21. Autobiographical and apologetic part. Defense of Paul's apostleship and the divine origin of the gospel. Paul argues through his conversion and deeds that his gospel was not received from man, but came through the direct revelation of Jesus Christ. Core question: where did this gospel come from? Chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 24. Declaration of the uniqueness of the gospel and Paul's apostleship. Greetings. Declaration of the divine origin of apostleship. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Rebuke against the Galatian church members who quickly deserted to a different gospel. Chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. Declaration of a double curse, anathema, upon those who preach a false gospel. Chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. Pleasing God versus pleasing men. Chapter 1, verse 10. Divine origin of the gospel. Not received from man, but received through the revelation of Christ. Chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. The circumstances of Paul's conversion, from persecutor to evangelist. Chapter 1, verses 13 through 17. First visit to Jerusalem. Met only Cephas and James. Chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. The gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 12. Chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Relationship with the Jerusalem apostles and defense of the truth of the gospel. Second visit to Jerusalem with Barnabas and Titus. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. Refusal of Titus's circumcision, rejecting the demands of false brothers. Chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Fellowship with Jerusalem leaders. Approval of the Gentile mission. Chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. The Antioch incident, publicly rebuking Peter's hypocrisy. Chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Core declaration of justification by faith. By faith, not by the law. Chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. Crucified with Christ. The Principle of New Life, Chapter 2, Verses 17 through 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. The second main theme, Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 through chapter 4, verse 31. Doctrinal and argumentative part. Biblical and theological argument for justification by faith. It is the theological heart of Galatians. Paul systematically argues the truth that one is justified by faith alone through the Old Testament, such as the example of Abraham, the function of the law, and the allegory of Hagar and Sarah. Core question: how is one justified? Chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 29. Law or faith? Four arguments. Rebuke. O foolish Galatians! Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Who has bewitched you? Argument. Number 1. Experience of the Holy Spirit. Receiving the Spirit by hearing with faith, not by the law. Chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. Argument number 2. Abraham's faith. The prototype of justification. Chapter 3, verses 6 through 9. Argument number 3. The curse of the law and Christ's redemption. Chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Argument number 4. The relationship between the promise and the law. The promise precedes by 430 years. Chapter 3, verses 15 through 18. The purpose of the law. A tutor, schoolmaster, added because of transgressions. Chapter 3, verses 19 through 25. Becoming one in Christ. Jew, Greek, slave, free man, male, female. Chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 31. The status of sonship and the allegory of Hagar and Sarah. Allegory of a child being like a slave under guardians. When the time fully came, sending forth the Spirit of his Son. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Rebuke for turning back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles. Chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Paul's pastoral appeal. Remember the time you first received me. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 20. The allegory of Hagar and Sarah. Two covenants, two Jerusalems. Chapter 4, verses 21 through 27. Conclusion. We are not children of a slave woman, but of the free woman. Chapter 4, verses 28 through 31. My children, with whom I am again in labor, until Christ is formed in you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. The third main theme, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 6, verse 18. Practical and ethical part. Freedom in Christ and the life following the Spirit. The truth of the gospel leads to the practice of life. Paul concretely teaches what Christian freedom is and what a life following the Holy Spirit should be like. Core question: how does the freed person live? Chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 26. Declaration of freedom and the life following the Spirit. Declaration of freedom. Do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Chapter 5, verse 1. If you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Fallen from grace. Chapter 5, verses 2 through 6. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. Proper use of freedom. Serve one another through love. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. Conflict between the Spirit and the flesh. Walk by the Spirit. Chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Listing 15 deeds of the flesh. chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. Nine fruits of the Spirit. Against such things there is no law. Chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. Chapter 5, verses 24 through 26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. Community ethics and concluding exhortations. Restore the one caught in a trespass in a spirit of gentleness. Chapter 6, verse 1. Bear one another's burdens. Fulfill the law of Christ. Chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. You reap what you sow. The one who sows to the Spirit will reap eternal life. Chapter 6, verses 7 through 8. Do not lose heart in doing good. In due time, we will reap. Chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. Paul's handwritten conclusion. See with what large letters I am writing to you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 11. Exposing the motives of the Judaizers. Desiring to boast in the flesh. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 13. Nothing to boast of except the cross. A new creation is what matters. Chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. Benediction, chapter 6, verse 18. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians, chapter 6, verse 14. This chart outlines the overall structure of Galatians by main theme, detailing the chapter, topic, and core question for each section. The first main theme. Chapters 1 to 2. Topic: apologetic part. Core question: where did this gospel come from? The second main theme. Chapters 3 to 4. Topic: doctrinal part. Core question: how is one justified? The third main theme. Chapters 5 to 6. Topic: ethical part. Core question: how does the freed person live? Chapter 16. Christianity and Judaism. First, common foundation. Christianity and Judaism started from the same root, but decisively diverge in their understanding of Jesus Christ. Share the Old Testament, Hebrew Bible. Confess monotheistic faith, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Confess Abraham as the father of faith. Share the expectation of the Messiah. However, Judaism views that the Messiah has not yet come, while Christianity confesses that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Second, decisive differences. This chart provides a category-by-category comparison of the decisive differences between Christianity and Judaism. First, Scriptures. Bible, Christianity, Old Testament plus New Testament. Receives the Hebrew Bible as a typology of Jesus Christ and confesses the 27 books of the New Testament as the final revelation. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. Judaism, Tanakh, Old Testament. Acknowledges only Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim. Does not acknowledge the New Testament. Also values oral laws such as the Talmud and Mishnah. Second, understanding of Jesus Christ. Section 2, point 1. Identity of Jesus. Christianity, Son of God, Messiah. The Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament and the incarnate Son of God. His death and resurrection are the only basis for salvation. John chapter 1, verse 14. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Judaism does not acknowledge as the Messiah. Jesus is not the Messiah, and the Messiah has not yet come. Expects one who will accomplish the restoration of the Davidic kingdom and world peace. Section 2, point 2. Death of Jesus, Christianity, substitutionary sacrifice. The death on the cross is the atoning sacrifice bearing the sins of all mankind in their place. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Judaism does not acknowledge as substitution, does not view the death of Jesus as a redemptive event. Section 2.3. Resurrection, Christianity, confesses as a historical fact. The physical resurrection of Jesus is the core of Christian faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 and 17. Judaism does not acknowledge, does not accept the resurrection of Jesus as a historical fact. Third, method of salvation. Section 3.1. Basis of salvation. Christianity, faith alone, grace alone. Sola gratia, sola fide. Salvation through faith believing in Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. Judaism, observance of the law, repentance, good deeds, maintains a right relationship with God by keeping the Torah and through repentance and good deeds, values repentance and fasting on the Day of Atonement. Section 3.2. Resolution of sin, Christianity, the blood of Christ. Blotting out of sin through the blood of Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verses 24 through 25. Judaism, sacrifice, repentance, good deeds, Torah study. After the destruction of the temple, Anno Domini 70, resolves sin through repentance, prayer, good deeds, and Torah study. Fourth, understanding of God. Doctrine of God. Christianity, Trinity. One God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. John chapter 1, verse 1. Judaism, monotheism. Shema Yisrael. God is only one. Rejects the Trinity as polytheism. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Fifth, rituals and feasts. Core rituals. Christianity, baptism, communion. Baptism and communion are the core sacraments. Worships on the first day after the Sabbath, Lord's Day. Judaism, circumcision, Sabbath, feasts. Life of faith centered on circumcision. Brit Milah, observance of the Sabbath, Shabbat, and the feasts of the Mosaic Law such as Passover, Pentecost, Feast of Tabernacles, and Day of Atonement. Sixth, understanding of the chosen people. People of God, Christianity expanded by faith. In Christ, without distinction between Jew and Gentile, one becomes a descendant of Abraham by faith. Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 through 29. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Judaism, chosen people by bloodline. Israel, inheriting the bloodline of Abraham, is God's chosen people. Gentiles can be included through conversion. Jerem. Seventh, historical separation. Time of separation. Christianity, first century. Independence as Christianity. The community confessing Jesus as the Messiah gradually separated from Judaism. Developed in a completely different direction after the destruction of the temple in Anno Domini 70. Judaism, reorganized into Rabbinic Judaism. After the destruction of the temple, reorganized centering on Torah study and the synagogue. Rabbis emerged as the central leaders of faith. Third, connection with Galatians. Galatians is an epistle written right on the boundary line between this Christianity and Judaism. The Judaizers, while believing in Jesus, tried to maintain the core rituals of Judaism, circumcision, feasts, law, as conditions for salvation. This was, in fact, an attempt to keep Christianity bound as a sect of Judaism. Against this, Paul declares the following three things. First, salvation is not by works of the law, but through faith, believing in Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Second, the true descendants of Abraham are determined by faith, not by bloodline. Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Third, with the coming of Christ, the era of the law has ended, and we are now living in a new era following the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 25. Chapter 5, verse 1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The Galatians biblical exposition you are currently listening to consists of 6 chapters in total. Each chapter is organized by topic and divided into 3 sections: biblical exposition, sermon, and question and answer session.